Good morning.
Good morning.
House Transportation on a Wednesday morning, the second day of May, will
right.
come to order here. We've got a fairly lengthy agenda this morning. Lots of bills that we've worked on and looked at before, and we plan to work in work session this morning. We've got a couple of bills listed for public hearing. Those two bills are Representative Krupp's bills, and since he's not here yet, and I don't know for sure if he's going to make it because of his illness yesterday, I'm not sure that he'll be here.
Oh.
We're going to wait on those.
Empathize with him.
Oh, we're going to wait on those for a minute, and we'll go to work session on some of these other bills first.
Okay. Here's it.
Okay. We'll start with House Bill 3946. Open a work session on 3946. John, will you give us a brief update on the bill and then the amendments that we have?
Yes. Good morning, Chair Starr, members of the committee. You have House Bill 3946. This is the second. third meeting on this bill. So it's something you're very familiar with. It creates a road user fee task force, authorizes Oregon Department of Transportation to establish pilot programs to test alternatives to motor vehicle fuel tax, and becomes effective on the first day following adjournment signing die. It's scheduled to sunset members on January 2nd, 2010. Now, in your packet, you should have the Dash 1 amendment and the Dash 2 amendment. The Dash 1 was rather simple. It did what the chair wanted the original bill to do, and that was to refer to the task force by the more appropriate name for the purpose of educating the public as a road user fee alternative task force. In your Dash 2 amendment, it changes from 10 members. The other changes are it changes from 10 members to 12 members to be appointed to the task force. And these two new members are to be, one is to be designated to be a city elected official and one county elected official, and then also allows flexibility for the department to submit more than one system of revenue collection. You do have a fiscal on the original bill of over $300,000+. There is no, well, there could be a revenue impact. We don't have a statement yet on that. By the way, Chair, this did come to your committee with a subsequent referral to School Funding and Tax Fairness Revenue Committee. And that's pretty much where we are up to date.
Mr. Chair, yes, the Dash 3s, does that incorporate the 1s and 2s?
Yeah, that's the problem. The Dash 3s don't incorporate the 1s. That's your chair's fault for that.
Mm.
I should have caught that in line 16 of page 1. The Dash 3s still refer to the task force as the Motor Vehicle Fuel Tax Alternative Task Force instead of the name that I would prefer, the Road User Fee Alternative Tax Task Force. So, because of that minor error, we're going to ask the Legislative Council use some more paper and print another dash amendments onto this bill, so we won't move this bill today. I also intend to talk with the speaker about whether or not this bill really needs to go to the Revenue Committee. I do know it needs to go to Ways and Means, and would happily send it there. I'd rather not see it detoured to revenue, though.
Right.
So with that comment, any other comments on these amendments? Questions of staff or the governor's office, anything? Okay, with that, we'll close the work session in House Bill 3946. We will open a work session on House Bill 3069. John, can you refresh our memory on 3069? We believe we have a Dash 2 amendment.
Yeah. Yes, Chair Starr, members of the committee, and this is the Dash 2 amendment that you have included in your packet that is new. It replaces the original bill. It requires the Oregon Department of Transportation construction plans to account for and protect certain highway signs, requires ODOT and Travel Information Council to submit a report to the next legislature on the effectiveness of efforts to maintain the signs during the 2001-2003 biennium. You do have a fiscal statement, members, on the original bill. This amendment would drastically change the fiscal on this bill. This did not come with a subsequent referral, so we could move this to the floor. Thank you, Chair Smith.
Thank you. Any questions on the dash two amendment? Scott, would you like to just come up and Doug, just to address the changes to the bill, the amendments? I think they basically did what you said they were going to do when you were here testifying the first time.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee, Scott West, representing the Oregon Lodging Association. The dash two amendments that are before you today do in fact incorporate the changes that we testified on last time, both in agreement with the Department of Transportation on a plan to deal with the sign issue. So certainly our organization is supportive of the dash twos, and I'll let Doug speak to the ODOT.
Thanks. Chair Starr, members of the committee, Doug Tindall, Maintenance Manager for the Department of Transportation. We also, too, I just read them this morning, but they appear to be exactly what we agreed on, and there won't be any fiscal with those dash twos because we're going to do all that stuff anyway. The report back would be something we wouldn't have done, but that's probably something in the course of our normal work, so there won't be any fiscal for that.
Very good. Thank you. Other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I might just quickly ask Doug, Representative Donna, did you get a count?
No, no signs. I mean, for that $1 million bill.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we talking about the same thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we were just.
I don't believe it relates to the bill.
No.
We have in front of us. Thank you very much. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
I move the dash two to the bill.
Representative Brown has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 3069. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative. We're on 3069.
Thank you. Okay. That's okay. I'll catch up. I hate it when I vote on the wrong bill.
Yeah, that's it. Is there objection? Hearing none. Motion passes.
Mr. Brown? Chair.
Yep.
I move House Bill 3069 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Brown has moved House Bill 3069 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Are there questions, comments, concerns? Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Devlin?
Excused.
Representative Krupp?
Excused.
Representative Merkley?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Excused.
Representative Verger?
Aye.
Representative Zonner?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Zonner, you want to carry the bill?
Sure.
Representative Zonner will carry 3069. Close the work session on House Bill 3069. We'll open the work session on House Bill 3071. John, will you refresh us on this?
Yes, Chair Starr, this has been a rather involved bill. It deals with the older drivers' recommendations, advisory committee recommendations for legislation. It requires Oregon Department of Transportation to adopt rules in consultation with appropriate experts, designating reporting requirements for a person with medical condition or cognitive or functional impairment that affects a person's ability to drive safely, grants immunity from civil liability to a person reporting condition in good faith, requires medical information report to be confidential, and becomes effective on January 1st, 2003. Now, members, you should have received yesterday afternoon, but we've included another copy for you in this morning's packet, the proposed dash two amendment, which is your most recent amendment proposal to the bill, and does several things. It clarifies medical information to be reported that directly impacts person's ability to operate a motor vehicle safely. It defines terms of physician and healthcare provider. It requires specifying cognitive and functional impairments affecting person's ability to safely operate motor vehicle. It also defines the criteria determining person's ability to operate safely motor vehicle. It requires also a descriptive explanation how person's current medical status affects person's ability to safely operate motor vehicle. And also, this is new, it adds the fact that the state health officer is required to evaluate this information and will be the last resort in terms of issuing the certificate of eligibility. And that also clarifies the confidentiality of this released information, medical information. Chair, as you see, you do have a fiscal statement, and committee members, shows $83,000 there. You're very much aware of our threshold. I haven't had an opportunity to speak to Kelly yet regarding that. Possibly we may have to add the referral to Ways and Means. It did not come with the referral. Thank you, Chair Starr.
Thank you. What was the fiscal on the original bill? Do we have one? Don't have one.
That is the original
fiscal. Oh, it is? That's the original.
Right.
Kelly? Can you speak to the fiscal on this?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. This bill, not named as 3071, but this concept is part of the governor's recommended budget. It is part of the DMV policy option package number 203, which encompasses quite a bit from the older driver study. This is the one piece of that older driver study that needed legislation. Everything else can be done through rule and other things. It is anticipated, both the regular bill and the dash 2 really do the same thing, it's just in different terminology, and that is increased reporting. So it's workload associated with possible increased reporting to the department, because it would expand the kinds of conditions or impairments that might be reported. But it all is based upon a rule eventually one day put together between medical experts and the department.
So the this bill was actually anticipated in the governor's budget.
Mr. Chair, yes. The older driver study recommendations are a significant part of policy option package 203 that's part of the governor's recommended budget. Yes, it is.
Because the fiscal statement that we have says it is not. So that's a conflict.
Well, when we turned in the fiscal statement, we put that the proposal is anticipated. It wasn't known as this bill, but in that policy option package, there is a significant amount of money more than this bill to do older driver study recommendations, including FTE is in that policy option package.
Okay, other questions for Kelly?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Merkley.
Kelly, as you know, I raised a number of questions in the committee hearing, and we spoke about them after the committee hearing. Can you review which, if any, of those are addressed in the dash 2 amendments?
The things that are in the dash 2, the changes that are from, that were addressed both by Representative Merkley and some of the other members, and I spoke to each one of you as after the hearing, one of them was changing designated persons, which people felt was, even though it would be done by rule with medical experts, wanted to narrow that down and specify who persons really was. And in this bill, it changes it to physicians and healthcare provider and then provides what it means. The other thing was the a couple of people that spoke mentioned there were some other places in the bill where medical condition needed to be taken out, and that's been done. One of the other issues that was raised both at the hearing again this morning, and it's already in statute in another place, and that is how a person establishes eligibility if they did have an impairment. Let's say their impairment was cataracts, and it got so bad that they shouldn't be driving for a while, but then they get surgery done and their eyesight is much better and they could, you know, drive again safely. How do they reestablish eligibility? That's already in statute. That's not covered in this bill. This bill is really just talking narrowly about who reports. That's in 807.090 about how a person can establish eligibility either by demonstrating to the department that they can safely operate or submitting new information from their physician that is then reviewed by the state health officer and granted. And that happens today under today's world, and that would happen under tomorrow's world.
Well, Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. While we're on that topic, I'd like to invite another member of the Assembly to come forward and share her thoughts on this topic to the committee. Would you mind joining us?
Yeah. For the record, I'm Irene Hobson, and I'm a volunteer advocate for AARP. Our concern has been fairness about reexamination once the license has been suspended. And so we were asking that that be incorporated into this House Bill 3071. Kelly has shown me this morning that in the statute there is a provision, a procedure for reexamination, requesting and appealing a suspension of the license. So I would withdraw my objection since it is in ORS statute now.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Do you have any other concerns that you wanted to...
I don't hear well.
Do you have any other concerns that you wanted
no.
to...
No. We support the bill. AARP supports the bill.
Thank you. I have another question.
Yes, sure.
Kelly, under the new language health care provider... would that include nurses, chiropractors, so on and so forth? How broad is this health care provider?
Mr. Chair and Representative Merkley, it's possible since they are licensed to provide health care. That is one of the things that will be further defined in the rule. But yes, it is possible if they had not, if they are specifically made part of the rule, but they are a health care provider because they are licensed by the state.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Kelly, very much. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
I move the dash two amendments to the bill.
Representative Brown has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 3071. Is there comments, questions, concerns? Representative Merkley.
Mr. Chair, I will be opposing this bill. I really respect the work of the working group that put it together. I feel fairly concerned, though, that we may actually be making a situation worse than it is currently. My own experience with family members and extended family is that it's very difficult to get them to go to the doctor to address the challenges that they have as they age. And I feel a situation where the doctor is turned into essentially a spy for the state over driving privileges may make it much harder to get them to the doctor. And I'm very concerned that both this will impact the health of our elderly population and that many who ought to go and get a condition treated that may affect their driving may not go and get it treated. So I'm not even sure it will address helping to get problem drivers off the road. It may work well, but it's an experiment that I'm not comfortable with, and so I can't support it at this time.
Thank you. Is there any Representative Nelson?
Mr. Chair, you know, I feel somewhat like Representative Merkley, you know, in that. As we age, you know, what we don't need is more parole officers, I guess you might say. And, you know, I feel that, that you know, there may be some strength in what Representative Merkley said, but, you know, since AARP is supporting this, this bill, I feel that they have good judgment, and I too want to be sure that they have the right to reexamination, and that's just been confirmed. So I will be supporting it a little bit reluctantly.
Mr. Chair, additional comment?
Yes.
During our initial hearing, one of the issues that was raised by Ms. Hobson was that a driver's reexamination, the opportunity to be reexamined and options available to the driver to correct a functional impairment should be explained in writing. I don't believe that was addressed in the dash two amendments either. Is that correct? I don't believe that that's been addressed.
Kelly.
Again, Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. No, it was not added to this bill. It is something that happens today at the counseling when we meet with them. It is information that's provided. I talked to the various members of the older driver study group, and they felt like this bill was trying to get to what needed to be legislatively changed, and that's something that isn't in statute today but happens today, and so we weren't going to add it to the statute, you know, handing out a pamphlet or information. It happens today. Now, we also work with people to tell them other ways to get around in case they're in a town that has public transit, things like that. I mean, there's a lot in the older driver study recommendations. There were 26 recommendations, including public outreach and education and working with groups, that you won't see in this bill because this bill really only deals with the one tiny piece that needed legislation. But the older driver study recommendation is very, very wide and does a lot of things other than what this bill is. So this bill doesn't address all of the recommendations.
Thank you. Is there any other comments, questions? Kevin, can we have a roll call vote on this? Dash 2 amendment.
President Brown?
Aye.
President Devlin? President Krupp?
Aye.
President Merkley?
No.
President Nelson?
Aye.
President Rosenbaum?
Yes.
President Berger?
Aye.
President Zahner?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
I move House Bill 3071 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Brown has moved House Bill 3071 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any additional comment? We have a roll call vote, Kevin.
Representative Brown.
Aye.
Representative Devlin.
Yes.
Representative Krupp.
Aye.
Representative Merkley.
No.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Yes.
Representative
Berger?
Aye.
Representative Zahner?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Do I have anybody who would like to carry this bill? Any volunteers?
I'll do it, Mr.
Chair. Representative Krupp will carry. Thanks. Representative Krupp. Representative Krupp, would you like to vote on House Bill 3069?
Yes.
I'll reopen a work session, House Bill 3069. We adopted the Dash 2 amendments to the bill, or the amendments that the industry and ODOT agreed upon.
Okay.
Representative Krupp, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Krupp votes aye on House Bill 3069 as amended. That will close the work session on House Bill 3069.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. We will open a work session on House Bill 3593. John, will you refresh our memory on this bill, please?
Yes, Chair Starr, I hope you don't mind a little humor, but it all seems it's been eternal. I mean, if we set a record here with the third hearing on this bill. And
it's getting shadowy.
Members, it's House Bill 3593. And a lot of work, of course, has been invested in it. But on the face of the original bill, it prohibits railroad from stocking or parking equipment within 500 feet of crossing. Actually, let me digress from that, because the Dash 5 amendment has changed quite a bit of the original bill. And so let me review for you what you have in your Dash 5 amendment that you're going to consider adoption. It incorporates all the changes in the Dash 4, which are changes current penalty from criminal to civil penalty, increases penalty minimum from $100 to $500, and from a maximum of $3,000 to $5,000. It creates new ODOT interest-bearing account known as the Grade Crossing Safety Improvement Fund. It allows ODOT to determine on a case-by-case basis setback distances for crossings with double tracks with a provision for a hearing process. It also allows ODOT to prohibit crossing blockages at certain crossings and provides for a hearing process. It eliminates blockage crossing penalty amounts from $7,000 to $10,000. And the main change that the Dash 5 amendment produced for us is it allows ODOT the discretion in determining the credibility of the legal petition process.
Which was the part in Section 1 that we changed.
Chair Starr and members, you have the original fiscal on this bill is $45,000. We had discussion in the last committee based on Claudia Howe's report. of the $12,000 for the one exceptional hearing. So I have spoke directly with Paul Siebert, our analyst on this bill, and he reassures us that this bill can go to the directly to the floor, and that the fiscal impact is indeterminate.
Thank you. I just wanted to make note of Representative Verger's comments to me on the bill, and the fact that local governments to a certain extent are out of the loop, I think, is one of the main concerns Representative Verger brought to my attention. League of Oregon Cities came to me this morning with some current concerns about that. My intention to move this bill today to the floor, and the League is going to work with the Speaker's office and trying to address some of those concerns when this bill gets to the Senate side. Representative Verger, do you have an additional comment there?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that, and I believe that it will work better for the department as well if they can work something out. I think it would be very cumbersome on the department if everybody can bring it to them. So that's just a little tweaking that needs to be in that process, and I appreciate it if some more discussion could take place on that.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair,
Beckrath.
Thank you. Did the Dash 4 amendments also eliminate the blockage crossing penalty amounts, or was that new in the Dash 5?
Where are you looking?
Well, under the effective committee amendments on the SMS, the next to the last bullet says it eliminates blockage crossing penalty amounts.
In the original bill, Representative Prupp, in the original bill, the $7,000 to $10,000 penalty was an increase applied to that clause, and that was eliminated in the Dash 4, and it's incorporated in the Dash 5.
It's also gone in the Dash 5.
Okay, so in that case, then, Mr. Chair and John, then the maximum fine would be $5,000, correct? Okay, all right, thank you. Just wanted to be clear on that.
Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Representative
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3593.
Mr. Krupp has moved the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3593. Is there additional discussion? Is there objection? So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3593 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Krupp has moved House Bill 3593 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended. Is there anything additional? Representative Merkle.
Mr. Chair, an issue that I had raised in the last hearing has been addressed, which was the concern over the ability of a person to basically harass the department. And I think with the change in wording that separates out a petition from a person and giving the department instead of compelling them to a hearing on each occasion, requiring them to give consideration but not necessarily follow through to a hearing, allows them to use reasonableness in addressing the opportunity for hearings, and I think it fixes the problem.
And, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to echo Representative Merkley's comments. My comfort level has increased also with those changes in terms of this legislation. One thing I did not want to see was overt harassment of not only ODOT, but of individuals who may have just had a bad attitude for whatever reason against the railroads and just go after them on an irrational basis. And I think that we've addressed that, and I feel much better about that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if the Railroad Association has agreed to this amendment.
My guess is that they have not. They don't support the bill. Everett and Dave Barrels, could you come up? I have a question for you. Question I have, changes in the law in this bill, the railroads have any issues related to interstate commerce that they're concerned about in this bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Everett Cutter, manager of the Oregon Railroad Association. My counselors have been conferring back there over the Dash 5 amendments, and I'd like them to address this question. Any others we may have on these?
Chair Starr, members of the committee, I'm Carolyn Larson, attorney for Union Pacific Railroad. In the Dash 5 amendments, I can see that there's been a change from shall to may in several sections dealing with individuals. I am concerned that actually that wording is modifying whether the department must enter an order and not whether it must hold a hearing. It's the way that the wording is done in the bill. I understand which...
The question I have is, are there issues related to the changes in the law in this bill that you have related to interstate commerce?
Yes, we always have concerns about whether a bill is applied in a way that might unduly impede interstate commerce. And that's something that we consider in the manner in which ODOT enforces rules against railroads.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your coming up. Appreciate it.
Okay.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there any other comment? Kevin, can we have a roll call, please?
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative
Chapman? Excuse.
Representative Krupp?
Aye.
Representative Merkley?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Oh, I'm too sure.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative
Zonner?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Motion passed.
That was a dash three.
What's that? I'll carry the bill. Representative Rosenbaum, would you like to vote on House Bill 3069 and 3071? We'll open a work session on House Bill 3069. We adopted the Dash 2 amendments to the bill, and there were amendments that were agreed on by the industry and ODOT. How do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum votes aye on House Bill 3069. We will open a work session on House Bill 3071. In 3071, we adopted, I believe, the Dash 2 amendments as well. That incorporated some of the concerns that some of the committee members had. Representative Merkley still voted no on the amendment. Mm-hmm. So how would you like to vote?
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum votes aye on House Bill 3071. That will close the work session on House Bill 3071. Representative Krupp, do you wish to have public hearing on your two bills?
Mr. Chair, on one of them, I was under my own erroneous impression that my commuter train idea was going to be up on Friday. I have an 8-foot visual aid to bring in to press home my point, and so I didn't bring it in. So I will have it here, so whenever at the chair's pleasure you would like to be willing to hear the bill again. I am prepared to talk on 3195, however.
Very good. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3195. John, will you give us the brief outline on the bill, please?
Yes, Chair Starr, members of the committee, House Bill 3195 requires our Oregon Department of Transportation to construct additional lanes on Interstate 5 between Salem and Eugene, requiring that ODOT to consider making lanes as toll lanes. There has been no amendment submitted to this bill. Thus far, there is no revenue impact. There may be a fiscal impact, of which we have not yet received a statement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Krupp. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm State Representative Jeff Krupp, District 37. And I think John just summarized the greatest understatement of the entire session about the fiscal. I would suppose that this simple concept will have a rather substantial fiscal behind it. I brought forward this bill because it seems that there are a number of us who have very serious traffic issues and transportation issues in our particular districts, and we have almost to a person have decided to bring forward legislation to highlight those issues in the hopes that at some point in time we can actually do something to address them. I drive I-5 every day from milepost 216 up here to Salem. And that is most of the way between Salem and Eugene. And some days, at certain times, The freeway is extraordinarily congested, even in the rural areas where I live. And that is as a result of, you know, we have had a vibrant economy. We've had a great deal of increase of truck traffic. And so we have a great deal of truck traffic to deal with, in addition to just a lot of cars. I think at some point in time, it is important in our overall mix of looking at our transportation needs and our transportation system in this state, that we look at things like certainly our airports, incentives for increasing our air service. We look at commuter rail ideas, which certainly Washington County is has a great idea on that, and that I will be presenting you an idea with that at a later date. But we also have to look at building some roads. And we need to look at increasing the capacity of some of our roads. And I-5 is the major arterial through the state of Oregon. It is clear that every day as I drive I-5, we see the need. And the need is very, very real. We need to add another lane to I-5 at some point in time. And as we all know and we hear and we have heard from cities and counties and certainly from the Department of Transportation, that every day you wait on these types of things, they simply get more and more expensive. Now, I am under no illusions that the Oregon Department of Transportation has a bucket full of money with which they can pour into this project immediately. However, I think there's a specifically important reason why we address this issue today of building additional lanes on I-5 between Eugene and Salem. We have already done that between Portland and Salem. And the traffic, while it can be very heavy there, as some of you know and as I have experienced when I've had the pleasure of leaving the legislature to drive up to a Blazers game, which is pretty rare anymore.
Very rare.
Very rare.
Probably will be. Continue.
That it can be very busy driving between Salem and Portland. Well, there's a good reason that I think we need to, at the very least, put together a study of my idea in terms of getting a cost analysis done. And here's why. Right now, as you know, we have a construction project that is, in fact, being accomplished between Albany and Salem. Now, I drive that construction project every day. If we as a state make a very strong statement that we feel it is important that we add additional lanes to I-5 between Eugene and Salem, we make that strong statement by perhaps not being able to fund it, as I understand those realities today, but rather that we look at the possibilities of getting a serious cost estimate done of what that would cost for us to accomplish that, utilizing different options. And then if we do that, we send a very strong message not only to our own Department of Transportation and our Transportation Commission that we value this as a high priority, but also we send a strong message to the U.S. Department of Transportation that we think maybe when this construction project between Albany and Salem is complete, that just maybe they ought to let us leave those construction lanes in place. Because under the current rule, and I'm sure you will hear from ODOT in a moment, they are being required because of the specific type of funds that were used to accomplish this project, which is much needed, they're going to be required to remove those lanes. And I think we need to send a very clear signal to the U.S. Department of Transportation and our congressional delegation that maybe they ought to leave those there so that we can use them in the future to add additional lanes to I-5. It should be noted that already the overpasses between Eugene and Albany have been reworked and built to the ability to add a third lane. The overpasses between Albany and Salem have not. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't be utilized for the concept that I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is not necessarily just adding a lane in each direction. What I'm talking about here is looking at some innovative and creative concepts, which we've talked about a little bit in this committee, and I think we need to look at them as a possible solution. Clearly, the voters have said they are not interested in a gas tax increase right now. So what options do we have available? Well, we have toll roads. Now, we've talked about that. And Chairman Starr and I have very definitive feelings and have introduced legislation on that particular issue. I also think that we need to consider the possibility of a creative idea that's working in other states called pavement leasing. And this is where a construction company comes in and does a design build to our standards, builds the entire project at their expense. And then they guarantee the quality of the pavement, the maintenance and the condition of the pavement to our standards for a certain number of years. And those are running between 20 and 30 years. For that, the state of Oregon makes an annual lease payment to that construction company. Now, we could possibly couple that particular idea with a tollway concept. This could be, and again, I'm throwing ideas out here to the committee to consider. This could be a separated lane tollway built under a pavement leasing concept in a partnership with a private company where these are separated lanes where the consumer makes a choice to pay a toll to drive on that roadway in a less congested traffic condition and perhaps, if we should so desire, perhaps a higher speed. We give the consumer the choice. Now, typically, you probably wouldn't have trucks doing that unless it was an emergency where a truck needed to get somewhere more quickly or with less congestion, those types of things. I'm really envisioning this as more a passenger-type car situation or perhaps also a bus situation where we would have buses running. We already have buses running between Eugene and Portland specifically on a scheduled charter basis that carry commuters. And I think we could use this type of a concept to expand that idea. And that's what this bill is really all about, is, and it probably, and if it would be the committee's desire, I would be happy to amend the bill to look at doing an actual cost analysis of what it would cost for us to do that, using and looking at various scenarios, tollways, pavement leasing, or combinations of them being separated lanes. I mean, there's a lot of options that we could look at here, and I think we need to look at them. I think it's clear that the way we've been financing roads is not working very well, and we've got to be creative. And I think if we do this and ask ODOT to do this as a study of a true cost analysis, and then look at the various types of cost analysis and the types of return that there could be to the state. And I think we, again, send a very clear message to the Transportation Commission and to the federal government that we're serious about doing this. There's a need, and that we're also serious about finding creative ways to fill that need. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish with this bill. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I'll end my comments and answer any questions that the committee members may have.
Mr. Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Krupp, the way I read this bill is this is a requirement to construct, not a task force to consider. Did you mean this to be a task force to consider this?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, originally I did not. However, as we have progressed through the session, it is quite obvious that the word shall construct is probably not a reasonable thing to require ODOT or the OTC to consider at this time. So my guess would be that we would need to amend the bill to do the cost the cost analysis study and with the various scenarios I've presented.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Could this be included in our road tax, a road user, that's the name of our committee, a new road user fee task force? Could this appropriately be a part of one of their functions?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, I think it could.
Okay.
That might be a perfect fit, as a matter of fact.
And last follow-up, please. Are there other states that have we could learn from who've done this pavement leasing concept?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, yes, there are. I don't have that list in front of me right now, but I can certainly provide that to the committee. It is a rather new and innovative concept.
County.
I think we could use it just about anywhere in this state. I think it has to, and that's why I broached the idea that perhaps we couple that with some type of a tollway concept, because there has to be an economic incentive for a construction company, and it would have to be, I would think, a large construction company with fairly deep pockets or the ability to fund a project of this nature. There has to be an economic incentive for them to be able to do something like this and to guarantee the quality of that pavement and maintenance of that road for 20 or 30 years. I would sure that there'd have to be a lot of ideas that discuss their bonding. How do you assure that that company is going to be in business 20 to 30 years down the road? You know, there would be a number of issues that would have to come into play. And I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel. I think we look at the procedures and policies that are put in place in other states right now today. And I think for us to ignore what is working successfully in other states, I think is foolishness on our part. And is being the state of Oregon would be viewed as the proverbial ostrich burying our head in the sand. I think we've got to do this. The voters have made it very clear. I have to tell you that in this whole concept, I had an individual come to me with a very interesting idea, is that why don't we just raise the gas tax on out-of-state people? And I noticed laughter in the back of the room. Think about it. Right now, what's the price of gasoline in California? You know, it's well over $2 in most places. We're 50 cents a gallon cheaper.